The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is, it's not on the clock. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, Erin Green's with me. When she's with me, I get confused on which show is which.
You think that's what it is? LeBron got me and you on our toes this morning.
Yes, which is good.
It's the trio radio, you know?
Yes, and LeBron Menace is here. He's one of our guest hosts who will be accompanying us for a few weeks as we go on. So we're trying to include him and empower him with his efforts.
Hang on, Mr. Nuri, a few weeks, you're trying to...
Man, this is the man that has a time limit. Start and end. I'm an employee. You got to speak to the man to see if he can have you for longer.
I differ to her, and this is why you shouldn't elect me as PM. LeBron, it's only going to be a few weeks because we're certain that somebody can snap you away from us, snatch you away from us as soon as they realize what a gem you are.
Yes.
So we're managing our own expectations.
It's the man.
Also, that's why you're doing vote me for PM.
Can you imagine? I love that. That was very smooth. I supposed to have guests today. I'm checking to see if they're on Zoom. I supposed to have guests in studio and guests via Zoom. I just went downstairs and there's nobody in the lobby.
Oh, boy.
So I waited. We started late. There's still nobody in the lobby. Now I'm going to check Zoom. Hopefully my Zoom guest is in the room. I'm supposed to have Ms. Simone Bo in Zoom. She's going to be talking about some things. So let me have Kermit connect us via Zoom to check if my guest is there. And if not, we can continue our conversation that Erin was having earlier. Some things I wanted to hash out and draw attention to, especially in terms of empowering Bohemians. But let's check the Zoom room. Ms. Bo, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Look at you.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, and thanks very much for joining us. Kindly remind us of your official capacity and why you are joining us today.
Certainly. I am a part of the HR strategist team that has been working along with other local, private, and public sector stakeholders on the labor legislation reform process that has been going on for the last couple of years, as a matter of fact. And we are preparing to bring those recommendations to the general public town hall meetings. And we are really hoping for widespread participation.
Okay. And you mentioned town hall meetings. Are there any specific dates in mind as yet?
Yes. So on Tuesday, October 7th, we will be at the National Training Agency from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we also will have the opportunity for persons to join online. And then on Wednesday, October 8th, we'll be in Grand Bahama from 6 to 8 as well, and also available via virtual access.
So is this a public training or some people specifically you're targeting?
This is public. So leading up to this point, we have had a number of persons who we have engaged from the community, from various stakeholders that have interest in this, varying from, as I mentioned, private sector organizations, civil society, the unions, employers, HR professionals, and we've had dynamic engagement and dialogue on how we want to modernize our labor legislation. And that's ranging from the Employment Act as well as the Industrial Relations Act, particularly.
You mentioned the Industrial Relations Act and the Employment Act. It's government-driven that you're trying to update it. And that you want what feedback? What is the intent of the meetings and the training exercise?
Yes, so of course, again, we want to engage our citizens, our stakeholders, community leaders, the general public. This is an opportunity, particularly for employees, their perspective on how the Employment Act, the Industrial Relations Act are implemented in their personal experiences and how they would want to help to shape how the reform should take place. And so in the effort to promote transparency and participation, and as well as to have a progressive bodies of legislation and to clarify those areas where it may be ambiguous or for practitioners especially may have questions on how do I interpret this, right? So instead of having various ways of interpretation and that there's confusion in practice, we want to make sure that we clarify what needs to be clarified, that we amend, that we modernize and add progressive elements to our labor legislation. This is really groundbreaking, and we really want to encourage the entire Bahamas to participate.
So what should the Bishop Behemans expect? Who should be the spearheading, coordinating the event in general?
So as I mentioned, there's a team of HR strategists.
And these are independent HR strategists, or these are government officials? Okay, go ahead.
We're independent, and there's a team of six of us. And so we've been leading the charge, really, with hosting. So a couple of years ago, we hosted the initial event, which was a symposium, where we brought all of those stakeholders in the room over a couple of days, and we just got their input on, as practitioners, what needs to change in these bodies of legislation, right? Very robust discussion. I think out of that particular exercise, we got over 200 recommendations.
Well, today.
That we then, sorry?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. That we then had to go and, you know, refine and collate, you know, combine certain things. So we put that list of recommendations together. We went back to that group, got further feedback. And there was a bit of a back and forth there. We had smaller focus groups, again, so that we could refine what these recommendations would look like. We also have had presentations to cabinet where we have shared what these recommendations look like. And then now we are opening to the wider public. And so our team will present what these recommendations are looking like, and of course we will open the floor to share their perspective on these bodies of legislation and on the recommendations so that we can get their input. So once we move from this point, we then go to the next phase, which will really be to draft what those recommendations are. Once they're accepted and approved, it will then go into the drafting phase.
I'm talking to Simone Bowe, who's a part of an HR professional group, who is having a seminar. Is it a seminar? What exactly are you having on October 7th and 8th?
It's a town hall.
It's a town hall meeting.
So it's an informational meeting where we will present on what we've been working on labor legislation reform, and we will share those recommendations, and we are inviting the public to also come in to hear what those recommendations are, to share what their recommendations may be, and to give their feedback on what we've been working on so far.
So there's a call for some labor reforms, and now we need this group is needing feedback to see how some of these suggestions will impact the Bahamian workers in general. So they want people,
Absolutely. They
want laborers to come forward and say, well, I want to be a part of the conversation. These are the issues we are having. These are the things we like. These are the things we want you to. Again, I want you to reiterate who should be attending this town hall meeting.
So we want any citizen of the Bahamas, anyone who is employed in the Bahamas, anybody who is an employer in the Bahamas, even if you are an independent worker.
So I want you to break it down. I'm an employee.
I was going to do that.
I'm sorry about that. Because you've gone far. And I said, I'm still an employee. And you start calling these other people. As an employee, why should I be there?
Into my HR, in my HR mode, right?
And I was a simple man. Employee. Let's start from us. And then move forward.
Yes. So an employee, you know, the traditional employee is someone who particularly would be full-time or part-time and how that would be defined. But then now we have, particularly since COVID, but this has always been happening, I feel, but we have different types of worker, right? And even business owners. So we have what we call the gig economy, for instance, people who are freelancers, right? I don't want to be tied to an organization, but I'm doing work for pay, right? And so how are they impacted by the labor legislation, if at all? So people who are a part of, you're a freelancer, if you, you know, are you, you're independent, you're an entrepreneur, and you could be a solopreneur, one person in your company. It's important for you to come out and hear what we're talking about and give your input from your perspective, because all of this helps to shape the workplace of the Bahamas and how we can be a progressive, fair, and inclusive country.
And now the employers.
To our workplaces.
Now the benefits of employers.
Pardon?
Employers. We talk about employees. I'm going through each one. I want to understand each one, yes. Why they got to be there.
Yes. So employers, this is important for employers to come out. I think, you know, we have, even among employers, we have different size organizations. So I mentioned, you know, the solopreneur, that's maybe a consultant or a freelancer, as I mentioned, or you may be a small business owner. Maybe it's you and some family members, or you and some other people that you hire, maybe on a part-time basis, or a seasonal worker. Maybe you hire them when it gets busy for you in your peak season. And what do you need to know to effectively employ people and to open integral as you are leading your organization? And so that goes all the way up to our largest employers in the country that employs thousands of people at a time.
The government.
Right. And I mentioned before on interpretation of the law, issues that you may be experiencing with as you engage with your employees, and maybe questions and challenges that employees are bringing to you that you may not have answers for. This is an opportunity to bring those things to the forefront so that as we are continuing to put these recommendations together to present to the government, that we are capturing all of the issues, the challenges, and the suggestion that we need to move forward. And I'm sure you would have seen perhaps in the news some very provocative suggestions coming out on the table. And so, you know, this is very groundbreaking for the Bahamas.
Let's talk about the what I call union. There seem to be constant back and forth with the union and government, and especially with this attempt to modernize our labor legislation. Should the union be present to hear what is happening or what is being proposed? And it's because what might be implemented in the future may impact their membership?
Absolutely. And in fact, as mentioned, the union has been involved in this process from the very beginning, because we began revamping labor legislation without them, because they have a whole body of legislation that governs what they do as they enter collective bargaining agreements with organizations, right? What is that experience like? What needs to be amended? What needs to be clarified? What needs to be brought to the forefront and discussed? So we definitely want it. If you are a part of a union and you have not been a part of these exercises all along, we encourage you to come out to these town hall meetings so that you can hear what has been done and you can also voice your thoughts as well.
Again, I'm talking to Simone Bowe, who's a part of an HR professional group, who is hosting a town hall meeting. It's on Tuesday, October 7th, you said?
Yes, Tuesday, October 7th at the National Training Agency.
What time?
From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And in Grand Bahama on Wednesday, October 8th, from 6 to 8 p.m. as well. And we also have virtual access.
So far, your organization had a symposium. Now, this next step is a town hall meeting people who are in the industry. Narrative of the symposium, and then contrast it to the town hall meeting, and then what's next?
So the symposium was really a closed session with all of those stakeholders that I mentioned, right? So the unions, we had the private sector represented, we had public sector represented, quasi-government agencies were represented. We also had civil society present, and each person, each grouping, I should say, was asked to bring their recommendations for reform to the symposium. Each of those entities then presented those recommendations, which our team and others captured. And I do want to shout out Mr. Robert Farquharson and his team. He is the executive manager for special projects within the Ministry of Public Service and Labor. And they were also, and he is also very instrumental in supporting this work. And so we were able to capture those recommendations at the symposium, refine those, put them again in another document that we went back to those stakeholders to go through with a fine-tooth comb now. You know, how do we need to best draft these recommendations? And so quite a bit of back and forth has been happening behind the scenes. And now we are opening up to public consultation.
Public consultation.
Everybody now and be a part of this exercise. And I encourage you, you know, a lot of times you hear Bahamians complaining about decisions that are being made and things that are happening around them. And, you know, nobody asked us. Well, now we're asking. And, you know, this is happening more and more, and we want to encourage that kind of participation. I'm lending your voice to the transformative change that we want to see in our country, particularly as it relates to our workplace.
Okay, and the work environment, like you said. So after the series of town hall meetings, what should we anticipate?
So then it will go back. We will have to collate whatever comes out of the town hall meetings again, go back to consultation, of course, with both stakeholders again. And then we hope that whatever is finalized as recommendations would be submitted to government and then moved on to the drafters. And the drafters are those people that actually draft the legislation for further review of the government, which will then be passed into law, amendments to the law. And so that is what we are hoping the next several months.
Okay. So I give you the last word to remind us about the town hall meeting that is happening and the when and the why and the where's of why it's important for everybody to participate.
Yes. This is really an opportunity for the Bahamas to participate, to give voice to their suggestions and recommendations for legislative reform as it relates to labor legislation. We have coming up a town hall meeting in New Providence on October 7th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and on October 8th in Grand Bahama from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And of course, we are encouraging people to come from everywhere, every family island. Join via Zoom if you're not on one of those islands, and just make sure that your voice is heard as we continue to modernize and make our Bahamas progressive as it relates to our workforce and our workplaces.
There you have it. That's Simone Bo. I thank you very much for joining us on October 7th at the NTA building, which is on, that's Gladstone Road, is it, Simone?
Yes, that's yep. Gladstone Road.
Yep, and it's going to be from 6 p.m. It's only 2 hours. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. It's a town hall meeting where you can participate, actively participate, ask some questions, get some information that you that happened, got gleaned from the symposium earlier, so we can be a part of the new legislation, the modernizing of our labor legislation and this labor reform of a modern society. And I'd like to thank you very much, Simone.
Thank you, too.
Okay.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We're going to be rejoined by Aaron Green and LeBron Menace, so we can continue our conversations. We'll be right back.
Yep.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. you won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call.
Then we can report everything. Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
John's Shoes and Accessories September sale has begun, and you don't want to miss out on the greatest savings event of the year. 25% off items for men, women, and children, including appliances. 15% off brands like Timberland, Skechers, Steve Madden, and more. And don't forget John's Careware for 25% off nursing, hospitality, and chef uniforms, as well as John's Fashion for 25% off women's fashion clothing. Shop big savings with John's Palmdale or Carmichael Road from now until September 30th. We put fashion at your feet.
Are you searching for something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Is. Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Just recently we had a conversation with Ms. Simone Bow, a consultant at the Ministry of Labor and Public Service. That's a legislative reform town hall meeting. It's going to be in New Providence at the National Training Agency on Gladstone Road. That's going to be on Tuesday, October 7th. From 6 p.m. on Wednesday, they're going to be in Grand Bahama at the Ministry of Labor and Public Service Wynn Building, which is downtown. That's going to be on Wednesday, October 8th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's the Ministry of Labor and Public Service Legislative Reform Town Hall Meeting. I just want to read that out again. And then transition to or continue with our conversation earlier. And I want to concentrate about our plan. And I always mentioned that it should always be a strategy, a clear, precise strategy on what is our plan to do. This rainfall, the tropical storm we had, was in modern history may have been our worst downpour of water, rain, flooding in New Providence, but in particular in recent times.
No.
No, it hasn't? We had it worse than this?
Yeah.
When was it worse than this? So much areas flooded. School
Hurricane
closed.
Hurricane Matthew?
In recent, when was Hurricane Matthew? That was
2016.
9 years ago.
And they had flooding like this and schools closed?
Okay.
Oh my God. That
so
was,
we're talking about rainfall, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the largest amount of rain that has fallen. This may be. See, I think it's the largest financial impact for the smallest weather impact, right? Like, this is like the smallest or most insignificant weather event, and it's caused the most damage for something so small.
Right.
Right, but I don't
think... But hurricane is hurricane.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about rainfall. But let's talk about impact.
But you remember the weather event where Winton, remember Winton East?
Yes, I remember Flynn. That's when they had the king tide, when they mentioned the word king tide for the first time.
Right.
In our lexicon.
I mean, there was massive flooding to the point where we had a small millipede, like epidemic, because they come out of the ground, right? They're dormant under the ground. I think that one was horrible as well. I think what needs to be taken into consideration is the extent to which unplanned and unchecked development is impacting the ground's ability to capture the water and the flooding. So there's the climate change element, right? The rising sea tide, the rising sea level, which means that your water table is higher as well. But there's also the question of whether unplanned, non-strategic, unchecked, rampant development is what's exacerbated, right? The flooding. Because there's what, remember when I showed you the books from Pat Ramming?
Okay.
In that conversation, Pat Ramming shared with me, he had a series of letters to the editor, like almost small essay style. One of them, he highlighted, or the editorial, that an EIA, an Environmental Impact Assessment report, is actually required for everything that you build. If you're building a house, you're supposed to produce an EIA. If you're doing a development, you're supposed to produce an EIA, right? And surely, I mean, if we had proper legislation, that it would be required that before you sell a property in a development, that you have to share the EIA in an accessible way to each individual property owner.
Now let's talk about response. You mentioned the flooding that was about 10, 15 years ago, what happened out east, particularly out east, right? Because I have a remembrance of that, right? Clearly, we have learned something from 10, 15 years ago. I see...
What have we learned?
Not getting to that now. Yeah. And LeBron mentioned Hurricane Matthew. That's about, 8 years? What was that? How many years ago?
Nine
years ago. So we said
October 2016.
So we now during... There's a 10-year span.
Next year can make a decade.
There's a 10-year span that we now comparing. What are we doing differently meaning the response to massive flooding, right? Odie's flood again. Pinewood flood again. Bay Street flood again, but the response for Bay Street was different.
What was the response?
No, I don't know what the response is. Right. I'm just saying that the flooding is bad. Yes, on now.
Yesterday,
it only lasts like 3 days.
The morning coming to work and yesterday afternoon going through town, I was surprised at the lack of water.
Yeah.
Is it because of pumping?
I don't know.
Is it because of a focus on clearing the drains?
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, what did Nassau Street look like? See, remember several weeks ago, video floating around, pun intended, of the Nassau Street intersection. That video has been reposted in the wake of Imelda, pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
That was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the water seemed to be 2 feet, maybe in some areas. Like, what?
And as we're about to engage the coalition,
yeah.
I want to talk about a plan of action for flooding, right? A plan that we all say, well, this will happen, right? This should be anticipated, particularly how LeBron mentioned that, reminded us about the electricity and the callers too, about electricity, about turning on electricity, that. But I don't know if there's a focused plan. Like, will BPL and the powers that be, the stakeholders, will they go to house to house to house, or will they be dependent on individuals to police themselves on whether their houses are dry enough to electricity.
That's a serious matter, right? They're not,
yeah.
And especially now that we have international partners involved, I don't expect any jokeness happening.
But is there a voice plan? Do you know of any plan?
Well, I mean, we read I don't know of a strategic plan to get certified electricians into communities, right? And contractors into communities for this restoration process. I don't know if there's a strategic plan for that. And to your sort of original point, no, I don't call us back. Okay, we come right now. I don't know how much has changed. Like, I want to celebrate these young people, these new teams. Unfortunately, the new teams are catching up. Mm-hmm. Like I know you're doing a good job. You want celebrity. What you're doing is catching up from 20 years behind. And you can't really expect the type of celebration that you may be expecting. Same thing for these politicians. Mm-hmm. The things you calling successes, you catching up on 20 years' worth of work, and you still ain't doing a good job. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't think we have a plan, although you see individuals. I got some text here. You see individuals saying some good things are happening.
That's a student bringing home homework from last year, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, you bring the teacher home.
Finish this? I finished this, right?
Yeah. But so I'm going to the college right now. I see individual actors responding is on a plan. You saying your yard flooded.
No, like I'm saying, we don't have a plan. No, we don't have a plan.
There is no documented blueprint.
I want to know the plan. It got to be a plan.
And I,
you're saying 10 years now.
For people who tell me to ride the wave with Brave, I expect you have a plan for this. Don't do it, water, and you don't have a plan. Good morning, caller.
My cousins, how are you all today?
Good, thank you.
Okay, cousin.
Good stuff. So listen, the reason why I called is because the very same issue with regards to houses affected by flooding, because I'm in an area in Highland in the Grove West where they turned our power off yesterday around about 11:30, 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And the rationale is because of flooding. Yes, my yard was flooded. The road is flooded. We had water in the house, but not to the level of the outlets,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was speaking to, I called about it, and they said, blah, blah, blah. I said, y'all waiting until this water subsides, I could be out of power for days, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got in some inside information. Someone called me this morning from BPL and said that where they're going to send technicians out this afternoon to the affected areas,
mm-hmm.
and check house to house. And if a particular, and even in the area, if that house is fine, but there's no water level by the electrical outlets, then they'll cut that house off. So they have been galvanized to get that done now.
Okay.
From what I'm understanding.
So hold on, what you're trying to say is they're gonna cut on individual houses, right?
Based on what's happening within their home.
Okay then.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so they'll centralize it as opposed to shutting the whole area down.
Okay.
They'll be case this house specific, which to me makes sense. Because if my house is not flooded on the interior, then I shouldn't have to suffer without electricity because another house is.
Okay.
Fair enough, right. Yeah.
I thought it testing is street by street. I didn't know it's possible to do house by house.
No, that's
interesting. But all right, let's go to the next caller.
Well, I think there are areas where you can make a determination.
Oh, sorry about that caller. But go ahead, caller. I missed hang up on one and answer. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good morning, Nuri.
Good morning,
Aaron.
Morning.
Good morning, Rabah.
Morning.
When we talk about this flooding thing, and y'all mentioned the King Tide episode of East years ago, I could remember it so vividly because my sister-in-law had a problem with that. They had to climb out through the back side of the house and mm-hmm. back there by the rugby stadium.
Yeah, rugby pitch.
The rugby field.
Yeah.
And the back of the window to go and go by the neighbor to get from where the flooding was from the front side of the house, all the water come up the driveway and all of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the issue here with, back in the day, most homes had steps going up to the porch and the house would sit on pillows, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, as a youngster growing up, you used to play under the floor of the house,
mm-hmm.
right?
And then remember, we used to be able to move the homes.
Right, yeah, because mm-hmm. they put them on trailers, they were wooden.
Mm-hmm.
But the same concept is feasible in low-lying areas with places like Pine with low-lying areas like that. But then there's another thing, too. The bullet train from New York, from England to France basically runs some underground, right?
Yes, the channel. I think I didn't go on it. I went by ferry. It was amazing. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then there's a tunnel in Caracas, Venezuela, when you land going in, that runs under the mountain. So the engineering is there for us to consider such thing, but I mean, that'll be a cost in fee. Now, what we have too, if the government and they're coming into power, then they made that trip to Bermuda. Aaron, we could learn a lot from Bermuda in natural water catchment, but because they're in the middle of the ocean. And every home basically has water wells under the floor, right?
Okay.
That's how the houses are basically structured.
So they capture the water from the rain, and then it siphons
tank.
Down into the well, yeah.
Rainwater tank, that's how the homes are basically built. Everything runs off the roof, mm-hmm. and rainwater tanks are basically just about every home there. That, you know, and if we were to excavate, because, you know, my experience being in heavy equipment and having heavy equipment is when you excavate, like when you dig a pool, right? You can construct a pool in a low-lying area, and when you block up and you do the pouring and unite it and everything in there, mm-hmm. the water from the outside don't never penetrate inside a pool in your yard. So that's more like a water.
I got you. Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate that. I need more recommendations. But again, going back to what is the strategic plan on how to deal with flooding? Now, we've been having complaints about Pinewood for decades, mm-hmm. 20, 30, 40 years, right? Government, I remember part of the campaign, they said they plan to do some initiatives, right? But I want to see successes in terms of, and a success clearly is the Bay Street area, maybe, I'm not sure, or this could be a one-off, because I expected the flood to be 3, 4, 5 days, and to just drive it, it's where the water. I don't know what it did. Someone needs to come and tell me what they did. So I can say that's part of the plan.
It could also be the
coincidence.
Not even coincidence, but the movement of the storm. The natural impact of the storm may have caused flooding in particular areas.
So I shouldn't brag about it yet until the next flooding. Yeah. I say, okay, something's successful.
Don't brag about it yet because it may rain for 2 days tomorrow. And
then the water back.
Yeah.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller. Let's move on to the next one. Go ahead, caller. Guide in radio.
Hey, C.A. Neri.
What'd you say, man, Johnson?
Radio man and Aaron Green.
Yeah, how you doing? How are you doing, and how the dialysis patients doing? We saw the article in the paper.
Hey, Aaron Green, you sure you want to open up that can of worms this morning?
The legendary flooding. Did you want flood?
Well, Ron, they're always flooding the ground here. But the flood ain't a problem. Mm-hmm. The problem with it is that in the dialysis, I'm saying here is it leaking. Water coming down on everyone on the machines.
Man,
I almost slipped yesterday coming out of there. I almost slipped, and possibly God knows what would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm happy that when the power dipped again yesterday, the AO and our entire team was walking through the unit the same time. So they ain't gonna say the patient's lying or telling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They had to witness it
for themselves.
And the problem, the solution, like we're looking for today, is they never installed a UPS of uninterrupted power supply, like we told them several years ago, mm-hmm. that they need for the transition of power. They never did it. But they saw how critical it could be yesterday, and that the machines all cut off, 20-something of them, and then the nurses have to frantically run around to try and manually reboot the machine. But NASA, same thing. With this flooding, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but NASA wasn't planned. And everybody throwing concrete here and throwing this there and that there, and anything.
Mm-hmm.
We have this problem for the time to come.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Thank you very much, Johnson.
Yeah, man.
Let's go to the next caller, Kermit. Guiding Radio AM. Go ahead, caller, you're live.
Hey, see you. Morning, Aaron.
Morning,
cousin. Morning.
The issue with flooding has been addressed for quite a time. And, you know, we've heard some really excellent ideas over for quite some time on how to actually attack this issue. But I think everything basically fell on deaf ears, per se. I'll give you a classic example. Right now, and, you know, the Prime Minister himself, and the entourage, they're going around talking about climate change and how this, of course, the sea level is rising and so on and so forth. And if this climate change thing is going to be playing a part of the rhetoric that we are putting out in the public domain, but yet we have this flooding issue going on. We know Pinewood Gardens have been flooding from time immemorial. You know, and I often said that this thing should have been really considered from the development side of it, when they first brought about the Pinewood Gardens, what infrastructure was put in place in the event that this thing would happen. Is Pinewood Gardens actually in a bowl, or is it, or over time, the land just eroded down to a point where now spring tide and the flooding then takes place? Where are these lift stations that we talked about quite some time? And why is it that we haven't deployed or brought in structural engineers like the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, for instance, information on how to quell this problem? We got all these canals right there in Pinewood Gardens. Why haven't lift stations been put in so far to pump this water out of here into the canals to get the water off the land? There's no true, seems like there's no true concerted effort to solve this problem. And these people's homes are being flooded. Furniture is being destroyed. Nation of these homes are being impacted, and there's no true serious conversation on how these issues are going to be solved.
Thank you very much, Devo. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, the plan, right? I see a number of politicians are pumping water out of the community, right? I'm grateful for that. I'm not sure what the plan is to do with the water they pump out of the community. Where does that go? And, or they just say wantonly, say, well, I can put in an ocean here, or I can put in a canal there. There should be an official plan regarding pumping water out of the community. Where do they water, Aaron?
Sometimes it gets pumped back up to the ocean.
Do you know where they use?
No, you know what I find interesting? I need somebody to give me the history of what the strategy for Pinewood was before, for that for flooding remediation. Because I get whispers and sip, right, that they had a strategy to pump what I think from Pinewood into a particular area, but development overtook what anybody planning.
Yeah, but you mentioned pumping inside the ocean. Do they pump it where people swim? I should be concerned whether they pump it where people swim, because when I saw a picture, that's the beach. I'm saying, I mean, cool, you pump it.
Well,
in,
I mean, where else you can pump it?
By the beach, eh?
So I mean, where's the beach? The beach is...
I'm talking
the
beach.
The beach is right next to the water. I can pump it.
I just figured.
I mean, sometimes... And see, because that'll give you a sense of the space and tourism.
You was complaining that people swamp
the beach.
No, you pump it. That's what they do. You pump it into the ocean.
Not the ocean. I talk about the beach.
When you've been to Cuba? You ever been to Cuba on the beach? Let me tell you something. I almost called the Ministry of Tourism, the Bahamian Ministry of Tourism.
Lord.
I on the beach in Cuba enjoying the water, and then all of a sudden the water start turning brown. I said, what's happening here?
And you've straightened water.
Turns out the river.
Oh, okay.
It's just the river. What
I
you
can
thinking?
Appreciate that, but this ain't the river.
Well, what you think be in the river?
Okay, let's go to the next call.
And then I get 17 texts.
Okay, let's go to the text too. Let's go, callers. We can do it quickly so we can read the text. Go ahead, caller. Guide and read your ear. Go ahead. Morning.
Morning, sir. Listen, if you do a well 200 feet down a drainage, when that water go inside the year after year after year, we're using the water. If the water is not going no place, what it does, maybe, I don't know, it get into the lime, it make the lime softer. We don't know if it cave in down there, and that's the reason why we keep having this problem. Because if you build it, if you do that 200 feet, maybe under there, cave in, and time after time, the water just don't have no place to run. Mm-hmm. So we don't to live near the beach. Now people are running from the beach now to come inland because we have a problem. The sea level is swelling. So it's just like it's nowhere to go. Only thing we can do now, if you build out your start now, if government build the houses down like one time ago, you're going to go under the house and play a little dollhouse and stuff now. But so many houses down now are leveled with the ground, so we are still in problem. So we don't know who to call on to fix the problem. I don't know.
I can tell you.
Thank you very much, Carl.
Thank you for your call. I can tell you right now, call on the government.
Call the government.
Call on the government, but make sure you have the right number. Good day, Green, and please ensure these pumping trucks get the contract for cleaning the drains in our communities. The pump truck in Constitution Drive in Golden Gates These are men of action. All the pumping trucks have done an amazing job. Make no mistake about it. They know who they are. We get it. The question is, are there enough pumping trucks, right? Are there enough? Good morning. As a business owner on Bay Street, the flooding problem has not been solved. There was almost 2 feet of water at one point. So discouraging. I saw images from an art gallery downtown where they were constantly mopping water.
My point was, usually when it rains, I know it floods. Yeah. But that's a 3, 4, 5 day event. Now it's just going to 1 day. Yeah. Something happened.
The entire multi-million dollar face lift from the first rainy day they complained, they'd just ask anyone that works there. So it seemed like from the facelift, it's just a facelift and it'd been leaking the entire time. Aaron tells CA, MPs were pumping water out. If your MP wasn't standing knee-deep in water with a suction pump truck behind them yesterday, they don't need to return to Parliament. I ain't seen my MP, Adrian White, wearing no boots, but St. Anne's...
You was flooded?
Was flooded. There were... No, in fact, I don't... There were parts of St. Anne's outside of my area that was flooded, but whatever flood water in that area, I think...
Went by, dissipated
quickly. But further south, like when you get to Bernard Road by South...
Different constituency.
I know what I say. I know.
I thought it was St. Anne's.
I know.
What
Adley Street South was flood up.
Like Fox Hill people.
Because that Fox Hill constituency.
Yeah, but we know it's St. Anne's. Yo, I know if yours flooded.
Not in my area.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see major flood. And I was surprised by the lack of water on the road on Monday morning when I came to work. I mean, there was water, but it wasn't a ton, not what I expected. In fact, like I said, I think it's about the direction the storm took. Ms. Green, I remember as a kid, house was built up with rainwater tanks. Why we abandoned that idea? Because y'all love the imagination of the merchant class. That's why. Aaron Newry, it could be because of all the sidewalks in the bush potentiated by poor planning to occur the same.
I think it always floods. I'm not sure if the sidewalks. Mind you, you can't even walk on the sidewalks when it's flooding. You just need to don't walk.
I can tell you a joke off air about the only contractor to put drains in the sidewalk was a lawyer.
Any more text? I see this one call.
New Orleans flooded during Katrina and they have levees to stop water from coming in. We have not created anything to protect us from rising seawater. Do we have a plan to mitigate rising seawater and sea level when during these weather phenomenon? And another text, I get a landlord is saying that their tenants in Oaksfield have been without power since last week, Wednesday. The electrician looked at it and said that no power was coming into the property and they can't get head or tails from
happening?
BPL or when it will be. But the problem is these are UB students, right? So like other students, their education is being disrupted. And I know ain't nobody care. See, that's the problem. When education is disrupted, the person who carries the burden is the student.
Let's squeeze this call in. Also, let's say tropical storm warning has been discontinued for Abaco, Grand Bahama at 12 a.m. September 30th. All clears given for Abaco, Grand Bahama, and the Keys. These islands will no longer be impacted by tropical storm conditions. However, heavy rain with isolated thunderstorms can still be experienced. Let's go to this last caller.
Okay.
Guardian Radio AM, you live, caller.
Yeah, I'm sorry I called him so late. I just wanted to compound on what Dennis Bethel was talking about as it relates to the pumps, but we need a system in which, in parallel to the existing systems, with submersible pumps and centrifugal pumps, et cetera, and they would actually kick in when the rain, when the level becomes like a float system because so much garbage and debris are on the streets. If we control littering, then we wouldn't have objects coming through these crates along with dirt and sediment clogging up the drains versus just cleaning the drains just before the hurricane, and we'll have a system whereby the water will be able to be forcibly pushed into wherever the catchment area, like Aaron said, which is because the rainwater is actually much better than the seawater. So a catchment area would be great because reverse osmosis water, because of its salinity, has adverse effects on marine life in coastal regions, et cetera, et cetera. And that would be costly, like Dennis suggested. But nobody's talking about human activity, the compaction of the soil, putting sidewalks and concrete, etc., etc. We're not looking at all of that, and also thermal expansion. And so, I was 5 and 10 and 15 and 20. I'm 61 now. I change, and you know I'm a climate change, and anything that's made of matter will change. Don't mind them. It's all a farce.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Last caller for the day. Wow. Say anything before I go?
I just tell you all solo made, then give us the all clear though.
Yeah. This has been Guardian Radio AM. LeBron, what you say? You get?
Man, listen, there's so much that we could talk about. He just opened up. He just opened up a whole new path, you know?
You opened up path. A well of water?
Yes.
A whole new path.
We're soaking. Guided Radio AM with C.A. Nuri, thank you very much. We see you tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.